I guess it's just a time.
I guess so, it's probably new package tax.
What do you think?
They're carrying an awful lot. Maybe they don't have much to do right now. Isn't that Rudy's old firm?
Is what?
Been around off.
I think, yeah. Long ago.
Yeah. Been here a long time.
But I mean, he did come from somewhere else, Jack or something.
Yeah. Morning, Council.
Morning, Mayor. May it please the court. Eric Pills for the petitioner, City of Santa Monica. If the FAA had followed its own construction of the grant obligations in this case, and had followed its own rules and judicial precedent regarding preemption in this case, and had followed its statutory obligation to place safety first in this case, it would have upheld the city's ordinance. Instead, the FAA ignored those rules and laws, placed safety second by deciding this case without balancing the clear safety benefits of the ordinance against its minor impacts, relying instead on an unsubstantiated presumption that any restriction on access is per se unreasonable and can only be justified if somehow strictly necessary for safety. On the facts and the record, it is
clear. So it put what first? You said it didn't put safety first.
It preferred providing access to the airport and allowing aircraft to fly pretty much, you know, where they want without regard to, without consideration of the safety.
But the last part of that, your sentence was, unless required by necessity of safety.
That's right, Your Honor. That, I mean, that was the standard that they articulate, but the standard that's in the grant obligations and the way that the FAA historically has, in fact, interpreted outside of this litigation, their necessity standard under Grant Assurance 22I is a standard of reasonableness. And the only way that the FAA can justify not finding this ordinance reasonable on the facts in the record is by imposing a standard higher than it has articulated its own and interpreted its own grant assurances historically and in a manner inconsistent with the statutory provision for the grant assurances and its obligation to put safety first.
I understand what the FAA said is they looked at these category planes and said, gee, safety records for them are much better. They have better equipment, better tools, all those sorts of things. And as I understand your response is, but overruns happen.
Yes. And
the FAA failed to give adequate consideration to that fact.
That's in part, that's correct. Because the FAA, all those, the safety standards, the certification standards, the pilot training standards exist. And yet, as the FAA admits in its guidance documents, overruns can and do occur, often with devastating consequences. The FAA still requires runway safety areas off of airports, which Santa Monica lacks completely, even with all those standards. In other words, FAA recognizes that those standards are not enough to prevent overruns and don't in themselves provide enough protection against overruns.
But just taking your argument to the extreme, I mean, planes crash. So therefore, we ban all planes.
No, and certainly the City of Santa Monica didn't do that.
No, I know you didn't, but I said taking your argument to the extreme.
Well, that's where the reasonableness analysis that was omitted here would come in, and you ask, what is the safety benefit? Are we gaining something here, and if so, how much? And then you balance that. You look at the other factors. Are there any impacts on users? Is there any impact on the national airspace system? And you balance or evaluate and conduct a reasonableness analysis. That's what the FAA failed to do here. They simply said, we don't think this meets some artificial target of necessary for safety, and therefore we don't even have to consider the impacts. This is a case where the FAA identified, not only did not identify any negative impacts of the ban, but they tried to do it at the director's determination stage initially. The city proved that their allegations were incorrect, and in the final agency decision, the FAA says, no, we don't even need to consider whether or not there are any negative consequences of the ban. So it's an unbalanced approach that the FAA has taken that essentially tries to knock down the safety rationale instead of considering, well, how much safety benefit are we getting, and is it worth it under these circumstances? And that's the fundamental error. The FAA is saying we will fund and ask the city to fund millions of dollars to put in an EMAS mat to provide overrun protection. We would even be okay if the city spent hundreds of millions of dollars to clear out neighborhoods to provide a clear zone off the ends of the runways. But we're not going to tolerate a restriction on this relatively small percentage of aircraft at the airport. Really, it simply makes no sense. If the problem
That's not really what they said.
Well,
They said that there was not a showing that there was a safety benefit in restricting that.
I don't think they said there was not a showing of a safety benefit. I believe, as I understood the decision, was that there was not a showing that it was somehow necessary for safety. I don't think anyone is denying that there is some safety benefit. And the FAA...
Yeah, just as there would be if you turn it the other way around and cut off half the airplanes on some other basis.
And the point here, though, is, yes, that's in some sense, that's right.
They are not saying we will not tolerate a reduction in use. They're saying there has not been a sufficient showing to warrant a reduction in use.
They didn't say that, Your Honor, because they never balanced, they never evaluated what the reduction in use would be and how that would affect air commerce or air transportation against safety. And again, the underlying obligation or the overriding obligation is to put safety first. So even if there was a small benefit in safety and a small impact on users, safety should win. The FAA simply never made that evaluation. In fact, again, in the final agency decision, the FAA said we don't even need to look at the impacts. We effectively presume a negative impact that would exceed.
When you do those things, tell us where they say these. I mean, your paraphrase may or may not be accurate, but determining whether it is or not is not an easy thing. If you're going to make reference to what the FAA said, tell us where they said it.
So I appreciate that, Your Honor. It's in the final agency decision. It's page 32, which I think is in our addendum at page 32, and it's note 52.
Okay, I'm looking at the JA. That would be page 994 of the JA, is it?
It's page
1112.
1112 of the JA, okay.
And footnote 52 at the bottom.
Yeah.
And the footnote says, the parties have disputed the potential impact of the ordinance on the regional airspace system. Even if there were a significant negative impact, it would not help prove the alleged violations. And there's a quote from the brief of the FAA below, because the discussion of the impact and the director's determination was not to prove any element of a violation, but instead to explain how the city's assertion of minimal impact lacked proper support. For this reason, it is unnecessary to decide the issue of whether there would be a negative impact, and if so, to what degree. So the agency simply didn't consider whether there was an impact, and if so, to what degree. And if they don't do that, they can't possibly decide whether the safety benefit is
They're
worth
They're dealing there with the impact of the ordinance on the regional airspace system. That's not a quotation that's dealing with the question of whether there's a safety impact or not, is it?
No, I don't.
They're dealing with the city's claim that the impact, the negative impact of the ordinance is minimal, right?
And yes, Your Honor, my point.
I don't understand that to be addressing what you said it was addressing.
If I wasn't clear, I apologize. Mm-hmm. The FAA has never said that there is no safety benefit to the ordinance. They have argued that it's minimal,
In the initial decision, the hearing officer methodically reviewed the evidence and concluded that the preponderance of the evidence demonstrated that the discriminatory effect of the ordinance is not reasonably justified as necessary for safety under Grant Assurance 22I, right?
Yes.
And then they quote him as the record as a whole demonstrates that C&D aircraft have the better safety record. And then, as we explained below, we agree with the hearing officer's conclusion. Why isn't that dealing with the question that you're now saying they didn't deal with?
Because the question there was whether simply the conclusion necessary for safety, but never addressed whether there was any incremental increase in safety. And the FAA never said there was no incremental increase in safety. They simply avoided that and held the ordinance up to this abstract standard of necessary for safety.
Not abstract at all. There's an indented quotation that deals with the very specifics of what the ordinance does. The record also does not support a finding that the Ron Wade SMO, combined with the risk of an undershooter overrun, requires a full-sized RSA or EMAS. And that's not an abstraction. That's dealing directly with what they're quoting from the hearing officer, but then they adopt it. So I don't know why that's not supplying the gap you say is there.
Because when you look at the record as a whole, and when you look at the evidence that was before the agency and before the agency, the FAA was willing to put in the EMASs and would support providing the clear zones. The RSA standard for overrun protection exists. There's no question that there is an issue of overrun that present a clear danger at this airport. And the question is, how do you address it? If you're willing to build an EMAS, if you're willing to support clearing out the homes, why shouldn't you not restrict operations by a limited number of aircraft? And that's where the balancing comes in. The FAA agrees with all of that, but then says we don't need to look at the impacts.
Well, they said you could put up the EMAS.
And that's, yes, they did. And the response is, if you're willing to do that, what's wrong with the restriction? And they never answer that question.
Well, let me take you back and say, look at the grant conditions. So they had to show, or you had to show, that barring these two categories would not be discriminatory or unjust, right?
Actually, they had the burden.
They had the burden to show that it would be discriminatory and unjust.
Right.
So that's what they looked at. And they decided it was discriminatory and it would be unjust because this barring of these two categories was not necessary for purposes of safety.
And furthermore,
the community could put up these barriers.
But if you have a choice between two ways to address the problem,
and
you're trying to
chose one is my
but point. But they had the burden of showing why it was unreasonable to choose the restriction, and they didn't make any, they never showed why it's preferable to do one over the other. The record has no evaluation of how great are the impacts.
Why isn't the final decision properly viewed as saying you want to bar category C and D? We've looked at the safety records for C and D. To the extent the community is concerned, all right, you can put up these barriers. And the community never said it couldn't or wouldn't.
Because the issue of overall safety record of C&D aircraft doesn't speak to the potential consequences of an overrun.
And why isn't the barrier at least part of that response?
The barrier might address it. In fact, the barrier proposals that were presented were all less than the full measure of protection. They wouldn't have provided the full measure of overrun protection for the entire fleet at Santa Monica.
I mean, there is no overall protection because category A and B, or B overruns, the record shows.
Yes, they do, and they tend to overrun at a shorter distance. The record also shows that.
So only 100 people are killed rather than 300. I mean, isn't that what you're talking about here?
Well, I don't want to put numbers like that on it.
Well, I'm trying to put it in an extreme just so
yes. We
understand what we're talking about. I mean, you could close the airport down and you'd have perfect safety.
But it's just that kind of more fine-grained analysis that the FAA did not perform here. And they have the burden of showing it's unreasonable. And you can draw the line any number of ways.
They have the burden of showing it's discriminatory and unjust.
Unjustly discriminatory, unreasonable, correct.
Well, I'm just talking about these grant conditions.
Yes, it's a reasonable restriction or not unjustly discriminatory.
Yeah.
And the distinction between an A and a B versus C and D is based on the FAA's own distinctions they draw between the amount of overrun protection that's required. So rather than taking a more draconian approach, the city took a measured approach, drawing the same kinds of distinctions the FAA uses for its runway protection standards, or overrun protection standards, and developed the ordinance. And I think the fundamental point, again, is that the FAA never explains what is harmful about the restriction as opposed to a less restrictive alternative.
Well, they said it would be discriminatory.
But why?
And unjust.
Well,
because the planes that you're allowing to run there are not as safe, and they overrun.
But the simple fact that they overrun doesn't speak to the question of how far an overrun could go. And that's the key point. The the city targeted those aircraft with a faster approach speed that the FAA recognizes require a longer runway safety area because they do tend to overrun faster or longer when they do overrun.
Now, and you challenge their expert.
Yes.
All right, but you didn't put in your own expert.
Well, their expert is not necessarily a capital E expert. He's an FAA employee who gave testimony essentially on the stand about an analysis he performed that was never put into the record. The numbers are not in the record. All he said was, I performed an analysis of a trajectory arc of an object, not an airplane. He described it as possibly a rock, moving at 70 knots and where it would fall. And I think he said it would fall about 20 feet short of the road. That analysis doesn't tell you anything about how a plane traveling at 70 knots would travel, how a plane traveling faster than 70 knots would travel, and the record does show that overruns occur much faster than 70 knots. The record also shows that an aircraft traveling at 70 knots or perhaps more may have enough, I don't know the technical term, whether it's lift or support, to glide some further distance. And are we going to bet that that analysis is spot on at 20 feet short, that the aircraft won't further roll into the
street? What was the counter evidence to that? What did you put in with respect to those questions?
Well, in addition to the limitations, we have the testimony from the airport manager saying that the speeds at which aircraft can overrun aircraft would develop enough lift or carry to move them past the airport boundaries into the streets or homes. We have the testimony of the former NTSB chair who said, when you look at this, the safety issue that's presented at this airport and the known risk of overruns, this was a reasonable response to the problem. And we have the record, the NTSB records of other overruns that show that they leave the airport boundaries, they travel at high rates of speed, and that when there are buildings and streets nearby, it can cause fatalities off the airport.
Okay. Unless my colleagues have further questions, we are past your time. We'll give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear from the respondent.
Very briefly, Your Honor.
There is a way to lower the podium. We accommodate all sizes of lawyers.
Very briefly, Your Honors. The FAA is always willing to work with airports to enhance safety where it doesn't impact operations. In this case, that would be by adding an EMAS, as Your Honor noted. But there is no justification for this ban. The question here is whether the FAA correctly determined that the Santa Monica City Council's ordinance banning these certain categories of jet operations violates the obligations that flow from the city's acceptance of federal funds for airport development. By statute, Congress requires the FAA to ensure that airports that receive federal funding agree to keep their airports open without unjust discrimination against categories of aircraft. The FAA implements that through standard grant obligations like the one Santa Monica signed here, and the FAA has long reserved to itself the authority to make the final determination of safety concerns, subject, of course, to judicial review.
No court has ever overruled an FAA safety determination in your brief.
Well, no court has ever found that a airport's proprietary powers would allow a local airport to override the FAA's determination of safety. In this case, this ban does not...
This is the elected leadership of the community.
Yes, Your Honor. But the FAA is the organization that has...
But this is not just the airport manager.
That's right, Your Honor. But it's not...
an incredible situation of an airport practically sitting on top of homes.
Well, it's, I think, 200 feet from the end of the runway to the street. Yeah, Your Honor. But the geography in this this circumstance does protect the homes. But more to the point, it's not...
through the engineer's testimony about a rock moving 70 knots?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that the best evidence?
Well, Your Honor, the city didn't put forward any.
Oh, the FAA. This is your evidence.
Your Honor, the key thing here is that a plane traveling at less than 70 knots, which is the speed at which the FAA protects for overruns, is not going to have the kind of lift that causes it to sail out. We're not talking about a glider with big wings. We're talking about a jet that is traveling, you know, it's coming into land, it's braking. These Category C and D planes have great braking systems.
Does the FAA say that no plane on this runway can go more than 70 knots?
No, Your Honor. Overruns do...
That's the city's point, isn't it?
Overruns do happen at over 70 knots, but the FAA runway safety areas don't protect overruns over that speed because the vast majority of overruns, which are already a very rare occurrence for Category C and D planes, do happen at less than that speed. This ordinance is going to move people from the safer Category C and D planes into less safe Category A and B planes, and it's going to move airports around, planes around, which is also a congestion issue. I'm happy to take any other questions, but if there aren't, I would ask the court to deny the petition for review.
So you can rely on the evidence to support the finding that the ordinance is discriminatory?
Yes.
Because of the safety records?
That's right, Your Honor.
And the ordinance is unjust because...
The ordinance is discriminatory because it distinguishes between...
No, you're past that.
Sorry.
The second burden is unjust.
I just want to make sure we're clear. It's discriminatory because it's distinguishing between A and B and C and D.
We're
it's unjust. Okay, I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's unjust because it is not necessarily making anybody safer. It's putting people from these...
Not necessarily. It's an absolute standing. I'm just asking.
So the grant assurances at Santa Monica signs say that the ordinance needs to be necessary for safety.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Your Honor.
I'm just asking.
I'm not quite sure what the question is. Of course, when we look
you
at
have
safety.
Two burdens. One is to show it's discriminatory.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You also have to show it's unjust.
Yes.
Because it's not necessary for safety.
That's right, Your Honor.
And what does that mean?
And
does it mean that the city basically has to show an absolute, or is there some balancing by the FAA?
Your Honor, when the FAA looks at what's necessary for safety, they do look at, you know, is this going to make people safer versus the other things that would happen? If we move people into other congested airports, what is that? So there is some kind of balancing that goes into that necessary determination, but it's a question of whether it is necessary.
I know, but what does necessary mean here?
Your Honor.
Does it mean that it protects against any overruns, or it protects against overruns in 70% of the time, or at least when they're only going 70 knots?
Your Honor,
I'm just trying to understand what are the standards that the FAA is applying. I mean, how could a community ever meet those standards if you're talking about absolutes?
So in the case specifically of overruns, Congress and the FAA have looked at this, and they've looked at the possibility of overruns. Congress had the FAA do a study, and they found that the probability of an overrun doesn't justify closing down an airport. Congress only required runway safety areas in these big commercial airports.
Congress doesn't want to close down Reagan National, so therefore they'll let all kind of things happen. You want to keep it open.
Yeah, Reagan.
They like to fly home from there without having to drive out the Dulles Toll Road or something.
Reagan National is a great example, Your Honor, of an airport that does not have full runway safety areas.
Yeah.
Does it have homes within 200 feet?
I don't think so, but remember, Your Honor, the city does have the EMAS option, which would protect the homes surrounding the airport from these overruns.
So was that the administrator's position, that it was unjust because there was an equally effective alternative?
Your Honor, it was unjust because it's not making anybody safer. And if Santa Monica wants to do something for safety, EMAS is the thing to do. Are there any further questions?
Seeing none.
Thank you.
Counsel, we'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal.
I want to make just a couple of quick points. One.
You want to respond to counsel's last points about why it's unjust?
Well, again, there clearly is, no one denies that addressing the problem of runway safety would improve safety. And the question is, how do you do it? Counsel said there should be a balancing. It's not present in their decision. Counsel said, couldn't help but say, we look at the congestion issue. Well, the record, we did look at the congestion issue, and there is none. There are no impacts based on congestion by moving this small number of operations.
The final decision says the city failed to introduce substantial evidence to rebut the person you describe as just an FAA employee conclusion that an airplane overrunning runway 21 at 70 knots would not reach the neighborhood, period.
And that is strictly true. We did not present a technical expert to rebut that ballistic arc calculation. But neither did they present any evidence that an aircraft couldn't travel faster than 70 knots or would not reach the neighborhood. And I think that's the point. No one showed that there was no risk of safety. At most, if you credit everything that the FAA put in the record, it shows that that risk is not necessarily very great, but it's still a risk. And now the question is, what's an appropriate way to deal with it?
But it deals with that, doesn't it, when it says, when it analyzes the testimony that the city did offer. I mean, it's taking that into account, plus the ordinance, and saying it's not enough.
Well, I would submit that it didn't take into account all the evidence. One, there was an FAA witness, Mr. Bennett, said that it was possible for an aircraft to reach the homes. Mr. Marinelli also testified that overruns by C and D aircraft will go faster than a category A and B aircraft. The RSA standard itself provides more protection because of the risk of traveling farther for a category C and D aircraft as opposed to an A and B aircraft. So, again,
it deals with all that evidence that you're talking about, and then it just says, well, the city's only evidence on this point, you know, was provided by Robert Trimborn. That it was hardly a persuasive scientific analysis.
And all of that focuses only on the 70-knot ballistic arc testimony. What's missing is sort of everything else, the risk of aircraft traveling faster than that, soaring beyond Mr. Marinelli's limited calculations.
All right, so then the final decision says, thus, while a possibility exists that aircraft at high speeds may overrun the runway at SMO, this safety concern does not justify a ban that discriminates against airplanes in categories C and D. And then it goes back, you know, to the safety records. Why isn't that a balancing?
Because there is no balancing in the rest of the
decision. Sounded an awful lot like a balance.
My point, Your Honor, is that statement may sound that way, but the pages of analysis before that and the record in the case prior to that don't show the balancing. There's no evidence of what the impacts would be. There's no assessment of how much of a safety benefit there would be. There simply is no balancing. There's simply conclusory statements that the city didn't show this or the city didn't show that, without denying the existence of the safety problem and without assessing whether that safety problem justifies the response. I see that I'm out of time.
Yeah, we've talked you past your time again, okay. Counsel, which is our habit here. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. Our case is submitted. Thank you.
I'm sorry to hear that one. I'm very glad to hear it.
I had a